So, have you begun to fill out the bracket? That is my question for you. Welcome to the Eye on College Basketball Podcast with CBSSports.com. I am your host, Matt Norlander, coming to you and wishing you very happy bracketing. The field has been released, and I'm sure you're feeling as giddy over everything as I am in life right now. And, so do you fill out your bracket on Sunday or Monday? When I did not have this gig, I used to like to wait until... Back in the days when it was just a 64-team field, I would like to wait until about Wednesday, let it soak in, totally overthink the process, and then totally screw the pooch in terms of my picks. But now, my colleague Jeff Borzello and Borzello is joining us on this podcast, we actually have to get our picks in like within 2 hours of the bracket being released. So you don't have any more time to kind of overthink things, and sometimes that can be a good thing. Sometimes that can be a bad thing, and I'm always fascinated by how people make their picks. Borzello, how are you doing, man?
Dude, I'm wired, man.
So like, wired.
I've had probably like 4 hours of sleep in the past like week, but I'm buzzing.
Exactly, man. I mean, it's been a long week for us. And what's so crazy, we are going to get to every single game, every single round of 64 game, the entire tournament. We're going to give you our picks. This is going to be a great podcast. Dive right into every freaking matchup storyline and all that stuff. But what the interesting thing about this whole week is, so we just did all these conference tournaments and it was a good time. Hopefully we wrote a few decent things. You know, it was a lot of fun, but you wake up on Sunday and suddenly it's just like all that stuff is just so disposable for the most part. And brackets are here and we look ahead and life is so good. But you know what's crazy is that I did want to say that Big Ten tournament game, I always hate it because I'm ready for the freaking bracket by 3 o'clock.
I don't remember the last time I watched that game from like start to finish.
Exactly.
Because I make that's when I make my final bracket from like two to five is usually when I make it. So it's on in the background, but I could not tell you one play of today's game.
I couldn't either. And a different thing now with our jobs is I remember growing up, and even into my teens and college years and post-college years, like watching the selection show, I would be with buddies. Like it was definitely a massive event, a huge buildup. And, you know, you'd see the teams pop up and you love just seeing those matchups as they happen and you just kind of react to them. But now, and then afterward, like I'd watch the TV specials and I'd read as much as I could. But now since we're the content providers now it's like the brackets are happening. You're just kind of reacting just to react. You know, you don't get to read anything. You don't get to watch anything. It's just nothing but writing. So it's still fun, but it's a little bittersweet because you lose just a little bit of that charm because you don't have the ability to just kind of sit back and really think about it. Like my brain hasn't stopped.
I used to just fill out the bracket as the teams were announced, make my picks, and then like, you know, read that about it for the rest of the night. Now, like I tweet about it, got to write a quick post about it, got to fill out my picks within 2 hours. Like when I called in the picks today, I changed like 4 of my picks on the fly. I was just like, I don't like this pick, so I'm going to change it. But like in the end, like gut picks are always better. So maybe this does help. I don't know.
Maybe not. I changed 2 on the fly, and I'll say what those are when we get to them. Just as a reminder, you can subscribe to this podcast in iTunes. Please do so. And if you've got buddies that love the tournament, tell them to hop on board. Appreciate all that have done so. And we're going to have more podcasts. I tried to get them during the conference tournament week, but it's tough. I think I am going to be able to get 4 podcasts this week. I'm trying to work on a fairly good big guest sometime this week. I don't want to jinx it, though. So we'll see.
I don't count as a big guest.
No, absolutely not, man.
Come on, man.
You see, you're the reliable guy that I can say, listen, Selection Sunday, I got to have you on the Monday podcast. And so here we are.
Most listened to podcast, the Selection Sunday podcast.
I would think so. I think everyone is so excited and they just want to
call up your nomad teammate.
Exactly. Exactly. But we don't need to get into your living situation right now, man. I know
we don't have enough time for that.
We really don't. I know it's so brutal for you right now. But yeah, so let's go. Let's get into this entire bracket and jump right in. Damn, is this so exciting. It really is, dude. Like I kinda hate the first 4 for starting on Tuesday and Wednesday because I'm a little bit of a sadomasochist in that I liked the long wait in the build up to Thursday, and this kind of creates that weird quality to it, and you'll be there for the second straight year. So I like the first 4, but I don't like, ultimately everyone would rather have a 64 team field, but okay, so here we go. When we break down these games for everyone listening, we are going to go in order of when they are actually going to be on TV. So listen, then you'll know you know, Thursday afternoon, Friday evening, when and all that good stuff. So the first, you know, we don't need to break down AT&T and Liberty as much as I know you want to do that, but we will be giving our picks and our thoughts. So so Tuesday's games, you've got AT&T at Liberty, True TV at 6:40 Eastern, and then 9:10 is Middle Tennessee State St. Mary's. I gotta say, I love both first four games, Borzello. I know none of them are big conference teams, and so it doesn't have a lot of mainstream appeal because you don't have that Kentucky that might have gotten in, or even a Tennessee just from a major conference. But you know,
I like it better that I mean, if we had Tennessee and like you know, Tennessee and you know another mediocre, you know, high major team. It wouldn't have been as like I don't think it would have been better. I like the fact that we have Middle Tennessee and St. Mary's and Boise State and LaSalle. It's teams that don't get a chance to play in the tournament a lot, and you know there's teams that I don't see play a ton. I mean, I saw Tennessee play like five times this year on TV, and I, you know, they bored me kind of. And you know, it's just like it's exciting to see these teams, you know, on this big stage for maybe the first time for a lot of these players. I think it'll be fun.
I think it's going to be really fun. You'll be there. You actually get to spend about 9 days in Dayton, so that'll also be a...
It's a tourist destination, obviously.
Obviously. So it'll be a good time for you. You'll be hanging with Nance and Kellogg and all those guys because they'll be on duty there, as well as Marv Albert, Steve Kerr. So those are the guys that are calling the first four. So who do you got? Middle Tennessee State, St. Mary's, and Boise State, LaSalle. Who do you like?
I'm going with St. Mary's over Middle Tennessee. I just, you know, St. Mary's more experienced, Dellavedova. He can make big shots, so I think they're going to advance past Middle Tennessee. And LaSalle, I actually like them a lot. I picked them to win the A-10 tournament also. If they get Steve Zach, their big man, back and healthy, I think they can win a couple of games, and I think they're going to beat Boise State.
Okay, we disagree on both. I've got Middle Tennessee State. Yep, I got Middle Tennessee State winning against St. Mary's, who, don't get me wrong, I love St. Mary's. I think Dellavedova is just a fantastic point guard. He's the all-time leader in points and assists for that program, which is something not a lot of players can say or programs can boast, although South Dakota State with Mr. Nate Walters can say that. I've got a feeling about the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee State. They just dominated their league. I know they really dropped the ball in their league tournament, but this team was so good for so long. And St. Mary's has been good. You know, the only teams that they didn't beat in the West Coast Conference were Gonzaga and Gonzaga and Gonzaga. They went 0-3. But give me Middle Tennessee State there. And then Boise State, LaSalle. I'll tell you one thing. LaSalle's got to wear those uniforms that they wore at the A-10 tournament. They are sick. Freaking gorgeous. But maybe they won't because maybe they'll feel it was a little bit of a jinx there. I like Boise State's ability to shoot the three. Derek Marks can be a guy that I don't know if he's got the ability to kind of, you know, be a star or anything like that. We had a post go up on the next possible Stephen Curry's and all that stuff. I don't know if he's that close to it, but he can hit big shots. That team hits big shots. I think those are two really good toss-up games in general.
I mean, that LaSalle game's going to have a ton of good guards.
So many guards, dude.
I mean, you mentioned Derek Marks, but LaSalle's got Galloway. It's got Tyreek Duran. It's got Tyrone Garland. So, you know, that I think that game's just going to be back and forth. It's high level, high intensity. You know, this guy's making big shots left and right.
Yeah, and by the way, that game is at 9:10 on Wednesday night, Boise State LaSalle, while the game that preempts it is LIU Brooklyn versus James Madison at 6:40. And by the way, we're recording this late Sunday night. But James Madison leading scorer Rayshon Goins was arrested Sunday, apparently. As of right now, we don't have any response from JMU, but this is the school's first tournament appearance in years and years and years. And, I mean, just awful. How does that happen, man?
I mean, I wish there was more information about it.
Right.
Like I have no clue what happened. And it's terrible time. Like, it's just weird timing. I mean, it's right after the bracket's announced, out comes the tweet that he's been taken to jail. So I think we have to wait till more comes out to see really what happened. But it's a brutal break for James Madison.
It really is.
Because, I mean, they could win a game. I mean, obviously it's the first four game, but they could win a game.
They could. And LIU Brooklyn is a team that that scores well. I think they've got a good shot there. All right, Thursday afternoon. The first game of the tournament in earnest is Michigan State against Valpo. That's a 12:15 game in Auburn Hills on CBS. Lundquist and Raftery calling it. I've got Michigan State. You too?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I like Valpo, but I just think Michigan State too well coached, too good.
I like Valpo a lot, too, but yeah, I think that's just a brutal matchup. The 12:40 game on True TV in Lexington will have Ian Eagle on the call and Jim Spanarkle and Allie LaForce, and that is a really good one. Butler over Bucknell. I've got Bucknell winning this one, Borzello. I think that they are... not a bad matchup for Butler. I mean, Butler's fine. Here's my thing with Butler, though. Like, I saw him in person. I think they're a good team, but I actually think they've got some deficiencies in general. I mean, Rodney Clark can hit some shots, for sure, but people don't want to. I mean, Butler's a 52 team in KenPom. They're not even top 50 in offense or defense, so they've gotten the job done and had some really good wins this year, obviously. We know what they did against Indiana. We know how they beat Gonzaga at the buzzer. But I love Mike Muscala, so I'm actually going to take Bucknell on a flyer here. Do you have them, or do you got Stevens?
I went with Bucknell. I mean, I've seen Butler play 3 times in person the past, like, 2 weeks, and I just think they have a lot of problems. I mean, Ronnie Clark, if he's not shooting well, they struggle, and I think Cameron Ayers is the kind of guy with his length and athleticism that can chase Clark around those screens and really get into him and force him to take tough shots.
All right, we both got Bucknell. I don't think that'll be too popular of an upset pick. I think a lot of people think that Bucknell was overseeded. There might be some legitimate...
I mean, they were overseeded, but I think just, you know, when it comes down to match, I think Bucknell is just better than Butler.
Right, and it's going to be a low-scoring game. Neither of those teams turn people over. So I really think that's got a high probability to be, you know, within 5 points with 2 minutes to go. The 140 game on Thursday on TBS in Salt Lake, where I will be, I'll get Pittsburgh and Wichita State. That's an interesting game. And Pittsburgh is almost an inverse here of Butler in that Pittsburgh's been a top 10 KenPom team all season long. No one really knows anything about this team. Steven Adams is the big man that hasn't really produced as much as we expected him to. Pittsburgh's got some players, no doubt about it. Wichita State, last year they made the tournament and they went out. They were a 5. They went out to VCU. I actually saw them out there in Portland. Who do you got in this one?
I went with Pittsburgh. I don't really like either team that much. I was actually a huge fan of Pittsburgh up until like a month ago. I just think they don't have those kind of talented pros that, to me, they need to kind of live up to that KenPom top 8, top 10 ranking. They just don't have that talent to beat really good teams, in my opinion.
Agree. I have Pittsburgh as well, but I'm not really confident. I mean, almost
same here, yeah.
I mean, almost always with 8-9s, I don't have confidence because they can just be so damn tricky. But this one, yeah, I decided to go with Pitt, and I could easily change my mind back and forth here and there. But for posterity's sake, Pittsburgh, the 2-10 game, the final of that first pod or bracket of games on Thursday afternoon on TNT out of San Jose is St. Louis against New Mexico State. I think we're both pretty much in agreement. St. Louis, right?
Yeah, huge fan of St. Louis after watching them a couple times this past week.
And, very impressed. And I always like to track these games. Like, St. Louis is going to be they're such a trendy team right now. And very, very, very few people will take New Mexico State, and rightfully so, because they weren't, you know, New Mexico State wasn't the best team in the WAC whatsoever. Occasionally we'll have a 13 sneak up and beat a 4. In fact, 13s over 4s are now the 12s over 5s. You know, the past 5 years, a 13 has beaten a 4 in the round of 64. And if that one happened, just no one would see it coming. That's all I'm saying. 2:45 on CBS out of Auburn Hills. Memphis against the Middle Tennessee State St. Mary's winner. So I have Middle Tennessee State beating St. Mary's, and I have Middle Tennessee State beating Memphis, who I think should have been a 7 instead of a 6, but I don't have any problem with them at a 6 whatsoever. I'm just going to go on a hunch here. Memphis is a fine team. They've got some players, but give me the Blue Raiders into the round of 32. So do you got Josh Pastner getting his first tournament win, or do you have Dellavedova and Randy Bennett going on and upsetting Memphis?
I've got Randy Bennett and Dellavedova and that whole crew. So I'm the exact opposite of you, I guess. I just like St. Mary's. I think they're disciplined. They take care of the ball. You know, they're not going to allow Memphis to get second chances and easy shots. So I'll go with St. Mary's.
All right. Look at that. Some serious Memphis hating going on. I hope Parrish doesn't listen to this podcast. Maybe he will when he's flying.
You get Goodman on and Goodman big. Nah, they shouldn't even be in the tournament.
I know. Oh, gosh, yeah. The Wednesday podcast will be a really good time. By the way, that's a Lundquist-Raftery game on Memphis. The 3:10 game on True TV out of Lexington is Marquette against Davidson. Give me your thoughts.
I took Marquette. I do think Davidson's really good. I still think it's a great matchup for them. Jake Cohen's good. Damon Brooks is good. But Marquette, I think they have those kind of stretch fours that can deal with Davidson's athletic, versatile big guys.
Oh, you're so, like, radio-ready with these breakdowns, dude. Don't apologize for it, man. It's great. It adds so much to the podcast. Listen, I like Marquette a lot. They're overseeded at a 3. I would have said they should have been a 5, personally.
They had him as a 5, yeah.
I mean, this is one that no one's going to really talk about, but this is a fairly gross overseeding. To me, it's as bad as Oregon getting a 12, but whatever.
I don't think it's that bad. I mean,
really?
Oregon getting a 12 was a joke.
It is a joke that Oregon got a 12. I just don't think Marquette's anywhere near a three. But regardless, listen, Devontae Gardner is a really good player. Vanderbloom and Junior Cadugan are a couple of guards that can have some good playmaking ability. That said, I do have Davidson winning this one. McKillop is a top 15 coach in the game as far as I'm concerned. Yes, Jake Cohen, Damon Brooks are a pair of guys in the front court that I think will fare well against Marquette. I'm going to take Davidson here. I like it, and so there we go. At 410, TBS, Salt Lake City, number one, Gonzaga versus number 16, Southern. Obviously, we both have Gonzaga, right?
Yep.
Okay. The 440 game, the one that wraps up Thursday afternoon. All these times are Eastern, by the way. TNT out of San Jose. Ooh, the Pokes get Oregon. Before we get to the game, you want to just run down why Oregon was a joke as a 12 seed?
I had them. I mean, they were in my pop and bubbles posts for the past couple of weeks, but I never thought they were that close to the bubble. I mean, they were really good when Dominic Artis was healthy. When he got hurt, you know, they struggled a little bit, and, you know, he came back and they went on a run to win the Pac-12 tournament. But getting a 12 seed and an 11, a true seed as an 11, which they would have had. But
right.
It's just, to me, that means they probably wouldn't have gotten an at-large bid if they didn't win last night. And that just doesn't make sense to me. They had a really good resume with their full allotment of players. And maybe the committee thinks that Artis isn't going to come back. I mean, isn't healthy at all. But he's still playing 18, 20 minutes a game and giving a little something. So I don't see how, you know, there's a 6 seed, 5 seed difference between them and UCLA.
Yeah, I agree. And I think most people agree. You always have a couple of seeds that just don't make any sense. And this one and Marquette are the two big ones for me. So I've got Oklahoma State winning. And I don't totally trust Oklahoma State, but I'm actually going to just say Marcus Smart is that good, that composed, and just going to be, you know, that freshman star player that can get this team a couple wins. So I'm going to take Travis Ford, who actually saved his job by making the tournament. You agree, or are you going to take Oregon?
I'd take Oklahoma State. A lot of people say it's a really good matchup for Oregon. I don't see that. You know, if Artis was fully healthy, maybe it would be, but I just think Smart's too good. LeBron Nash, unless he scores 0 points, I think they're too talented, just too good to lose.
Right. Okay, Thursday evening looks like this. The first game we'll get after dinner is on TBS out of Lexington, and it'll be Louisville versus the NCAA&T. Liberty winner, we both obviously have Louisville. Then after that, we've got 7:15 CBS Auburn Hills, Michigan against South Dakota State. I'm a little bummed. I
guarantee you're definitely picking Nate Walters, aren't you?
Well, first of all, let me get to that in just a second. But I was a little bummed. I thought South Dakota State might get sent to Salt Lake, but they go and Goodman actually gets Walters in person. So
that's his new man crush. He's taking him from you.
He's trying to take him from me. It's ridiculous. So I have Michigan. I remain, I think, one of the few who still believes in Michigan's potential, and I think I'm being a little stubborn here. Now, I think it's going to be a great matchup. I do think Burke is above Walters' class, so while I think it's a good point guard matchup, I'm not going to be oh, Walters, Burke. Like, if you put them, and I know basketball's not a one-on-one game, but, like, in a one-on-one matchup, I'm taking Burke over Walters every single time. So I've got Michigan in this one, and I think they're actually going to win somewhat comfortably, even though SDSU can shoot the ball well. They got to the tournament last year, so they're kind of used to this. Give me Michigan. Give me Michigan by 10. What about you?
Yeah, I take Michigan also. Nate Walters, I mean, he could score 45 points and make it close, but I just think Michigan's too good. You know, it's a cool matchup because of Burke versus Walters, but it's not a good matchup for South Dakota State.
Agreed, and that's too bad. I mean, but you know what? The program's gotten to 2 straight NCAA tournaments after being right. D2 a few years back, so they're doing good. 7:20 on TNT, where I'll be in Salt Lake City. Arizona over Belmont, and I've got another upset here. I do have Belmont beating Arizona. Arizona, to me, has a collection of talent without assembling a true game and identity. The guard issue here is why I'm picking Belmont. Ian Clark and Caron Johnson is a top five backcourt in this tournament, in my opinion. Arizona has issues with its backcourt, and Belmont now runs that high ball screen stuff. It does it extremely effectively, and this is the best defensive team Rick Burt's ever had. So I've got Belmont, and I'm almost going to say, I've got Belmont maybe by 7 to 9 points.
I have Belmont also. I don't think it's going to be by 7 or 9 points, just because I feel every year everyone picks Belmont to win.
I know, and they have not won one yet. Yeah, right.
I mean, I think this is the year they kind of break through, just because, as you mentioned, the guard play. Arizona turns it over too much. Mark Lyons, he could take them to the Final Four, or he could, you know, have them lose by 20 in the first round, round of 64. Sorry. I mean, Belmont forces turnovers. They're really good. It's this is to me, Arizona, I just don't know what's good about them. I'm trying to think of, like, all right, they're a four. They could be a 4 or 5 seed. This is what I was thinking last week. But what do they have that could make me convince me that they're going to win a couple of games?
Agreed.
It's not that good.
Yeah, I mean,
look at their roster. Look at their players. It's not that good.
I agree. I mean, no, you look at the roster and listen, like, Lions
talent. Well, individually, they're good.
Right, exactly. All these guys, like Tarzewski, Solomon Hill, Nick Johnson, Mark Lyons, Kevin Parham, like, even Brandon Ashley, even Angelo Chol, like, individually, all these guys are actually really good players, but they are not gelled whatsoever. And Sean Miller had a funky press conference over the weekend. We don't really have time to get into it, but it was actually one of the weirdest.
He touched the ball.
Exactly. He was waiting to blow up too. And apparently, I didn't see it live, but I saw someone tweet apparently that he didn't address that until like 10 minutes into the presser, his whole technical foul when he didn't curse. But a little bit of a weird thing there. But yeah, so Arizona, we both have losing. Interesting. Okay. 727 True TV out of San Jose will be UNLV versus Cal. Just two quick thoughts on each team. Vegas, to me, just has been underachieving all year. To me, they're not a number 5 seed, you know, within their DNA. They actually have talent. They have the talent to be a 2 seed, but like Arizona, except even better talent, they can't put it together. Cal is a total enigma to me. This is one that I don't have a really good feel on. I'm going to take Vegas because I do think it's the better team. And Cal, while it's okay defensively, doesn't do much for me on the offensive end. It's terrible at shooting threes, and beyond Allen Crabbe and Justin Cobbs, I don't know what they have there. So give me UNLV by a comfortable margin, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I wish UNLV had a different draw because I'm still in love with them like I was in the beginning of the year when I had them in the Final Four, but I just don't think their second round, their round of 32 matchup is very good for them, but I think they're just too talented for Cal.
Okay, so then we finish up Thursday night with these four. I'll just run them off and then we'll talk. So 9:20 TBS Lexington is Colorado State, Missouri. 9:45, and these are all approximate times given on when the previous games end. 9:45 on CBS in Auburn Hills, VCU Akron. 9:45 in Salt Lake City on TNT will be New Mexico Harvard. And then the last game Thursday night is on True TV out of San Jose, and it's Syracuse, Montana. So let's reverse that. Let's go last to first. I have Syracuse over Montana. Montana has Will Cherry back, but it doesn't have
Matthias Ward.
Matthias Ward, sorry. Who's actually the leading scorer.
Yep.
So I like Syracuse pretty easy there. You too?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Harvard gets a brutal draw with New Mexico, who, in my opinion, should have been a number 2 seed. Harvard's got to fly all the way from Baston out to the Great Salt Lake. New Mexico, yeah?
Yes. I mean, Harvard, I think, is a year away.
Agreed.
Next year, I think they could win a couple of games.
Absolutely, and that's everyone listening. Put that in your back pocket. Harvard is a good team this year. They were a good team last year. Next year, they should be pretty legitimately nasty, like close to what Cornell was a couple of years ago when everyone was talking
better.
Up. Yeah, better. So I mean, you got the intel on the recruits they got coming in. So it could be a Sweet 16 expectation type of year for Harvard next year. VCU against Akron. To me, Akron entirely overseeded. They don't have Alex Abreu, who was arrested for marijuana trafficking out of nowhere last week, but the team overcomes it, wins the MAC title. Akron's made the NCAA tournament every other year for the past 6 years. VCU is a very trendy Final Four team, and just kind of watching a little bit of TV here, checking a few articles and following Twitter, I do have VCU very easily in this game. Now, Noah Abreu against that press. Zeke Marshall's a fine player. He's a big player. VCU doesn't really have much of an answer for him, but I think VCU wins this game by 15.
Yeah, I do too. And the thing about VCU as a Final Four team, it's because their I guess, path to the Final Four doesn't, besides Michigan, who takes care of the ball better than anybody, you face, you know, a Kansas, Georgetown, Akron. None of them take care of the ball well. Mm-hmm. So if they can get past Michigan, you know, I guess some people are thinking, you know, Kansas doesn't have a great point guard play. Georgetown doesn't take care of the ball very well. And if you want to be different, you know, VCU is not a bad pick.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a bigger realm when we move on in our bracket. But yeah, I don't have VCU going to the Final Four. Then the last one, Colorado State, Missouri. Damn, Colorado State is better than an 8 seed. And Missouri here, you know, they lose to Norfolk State last year as a 2. Frank Hayes is going to try and get that first tournament win. But to me, Colorado State is a bad matchup. Who do you have?
I have Colorado State. I mean, it's two really good rebounding teams. I just don't know if I trust Frank Hayes to win a first-round game, round of 64 games.
Hey, if you want to, no police here. To me, it's still the first round as well, even though if we have to refer to it as the...
It's just, to me, they're more talented than Colorado State, without a doubt, but... you know, they're just really inconsistent. They beat Florida in February, and other than that, you know, they just don't really have much to impress me.
Yeah, to me, I mean, listen, Colorado State will not turn Missouri over unless Phil Pressey helps them out, because they don't turn people over well. They're an okay defensive team, not great, but listen, this Colorado State as a rebounding team is fantastic. If they were a 7, I would have seriously considered putting them into the second weekend. But as it is, you know, right now, just we both have Colorado State over Missouri. So that's Thursday. And we are in agreement with a lot of these. I don't know how many I think we might have disagreed on like 2 games.
The St. Mary's one.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I
wow.
think so.
Okay, this is not good podcasting, man. Let's hope the second.
So I'll start beefing with you.
All right, yeah. All right, so Friday, the first game Friday is Duke Albany out of Philly on CBS. That'll be Kevin Harlan, Len Elmore, Reggie Johnson. Reggie Miller. We both have Duke, yes?
Yes.
You know, real quick thing on Albany, they were 16 back in 06 against UConn. Do you remember that game? When they almost...
Yeah, I was a huge UConn fan back then.
Well, that's ridiculous. But I think I told this actually on last year's podcast, but I was playing in a band and I actually had a gig that night because Washington State played Vanderbilt that night as well or something like that, I think, or I might be confusing gigs and years, but I do specifically remember Albany really scaring UConn, and we actually stopped our set and asked them to turn the sound on for the entire bar so we could watch this thing play out. And I thought that's when it was going to happen, that a 16 was going to beat a 1. And lo and behold, that was the UConn team that actually got felled by Mason. So anyway, cool story, bro, all up in here. 12:40, True TV, Kansas City on Friday is Wisconsin at Ole Miss. I think this is where we differ. Who do you have?
Well, obviously Marshall Henderson would fit perfectly at Wisconsin.
Clearly.
Yep. I think Wisconsin, with 4 days to prepare for him, they're going to frustrate him. I think he's going to kind of get taken out of the game a little bit by Wisconsin. They're just too disciplined to lose to Ole Miss.
And so we do differ. I have Ole Miss. A few things here. One, I'm taking Ole Miss because I want to will Marshall Henderson to be in this tournament for as long as possible. The pictures of, I mean, he's almost too good to be true. Like, it's getting to a point where I'm like, okay, he's having way too much fun with this Landshark stuff, with the late night partying in college, and I don't give a damn if everyone tweets my picture. Like, I'm like,
dude,
okay.
Like, I don't follow him, but somebody retweeted something he said today, so I fell into the rabbit hole of his timeline.
Oh boy.
And I was out there for like 30 minutes, and it was just nuts. And it was awesome. I mean, like, no filter, no censor, no nothing. I think it's terrific.
It's a freaking amazing Twitter feed. This
oh,
that's
stuff.
Great. Oh, man. And so, yeah, you just hope the fall isn't that hard. But, yeah, so I've got Ole Miss. And I'm taking, because Wisconsin, well, they're a good team, don't get me wrong. And
they're a good team in conference.
They are. And yeah. they have these weird results sometimes. So right. Just give me Ole Miss on a whim there. 140 TBS Dayton on Friday, NC State versus Temple. And a quick thing on NC State. This was the preseason ACC team, the favorite for that league. And now it's just kind of like fallen into obscurity. And you get these teams every year. You get 4 or 5 that, you know, they just kind of get to the tournament. They're just good enough. And sometimes they lose a game on a Friday afternoon and suddenly their season just kind of vanishes up in smoke. Like, I don't know if they're going to beat Temple or not, but to me, NC State is a disappointment at this point. They got to get to the second weekend to have their season not be a disappointment. And I just don't see how that's going to be possible because they're paired actually with IU. But I do have them beating Temple. This was one of the two that I wavered on the phone. I had Temple at first, but then I was like, you know what? I'm falling for NC State's athletes, so I'm gonna go with Gottfried here. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going with NC State too. I mean, I wish they were in a different pod, I guess I would say, because I think they have the talent to win 2 games, but you know, I think they're better than Temple. Temple doesn't really play defense very well. And, you know, I just think NC State, with all that talent, they can lose, obviously, because they've been very inconsistent. But I just think they have too much talent to lose to Temple.
Yeah, team kind of reminds me, though, of those Arizona teams that got 7s, 8s, and 9s when they had all that talent. And
or like UConn last year. I mean,
UConn, yeah,
they
exactly.
They had tons of talent. But, like, they were that team. You know, they played Iowa State in the first round, and they would have had Kentucky in the second round.
Right.
I feel like Iowa State was happy with the draw, but Kentucky probably wasn't. And I think maybe it's kind of the same thing this year. I feel like Temple's maybe like, all right, we could beat NC State, but Indiana's like, I don't want to play all that talent.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a I don't know. I just came up with that. So
no, hey, no, that's good. I dig that.
Makes sense,
man.
Right?
It does make sense. Absolutely. Right. Final early Friday afternoon game is on TNT out of Austin at 2:10 Eastern. It's Miami versus Pacific. We both have Miami here, but the Pacific note is really cool because Bob Thomason is the coach there. This is his 25th year, and before the season started, he said this was going to be his last year. Pacific had an okay season, but they weren't, like, by any means dominant. I mean, they weren't a top 100 team in the Big West. They didn't win the Big West, but they won three in a row. And so in his last year, they get into the tournament. That's really awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool story. You know, they didn't even win the regular season, but Long Beach State lost, and they got the auto bid. Good story. It's a perfect way to go out.
Yeah, and they've got a tricky spot there because it's going to be 11:10 on their time. But they get in, you know, they'll probably get in Wednesday, so they'll be adjusted to it. It won't be a totally brutal thing, but they do have that. They're the one team where the time that they get doesn't help them too much. But in large part, by the way, and we can just quickly take a pause on the games here. The committee did a good job in seeding for the most part, selection for the most part, not having teams with quirky destinations or times that they got to play. You know, the snubs, we had our mandatory. These are the teams that missed out, but there wasn't a lot of outrage. You want to just, you know, you want to wax as you will on how the committee did and how there's not really, you know, refreshingly, you know, we didn't lead the podcast with talking about the fact that Virginia and Tennessee got left out. Yeah, they did. It's kind of too bad, but everyone seems to be pretty okay with the job that Mike Bobinski, as committee chair, and his crew did.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is, I tweeted this. It's kind of like the first time, or I guess the shortest amount of time, we've talked about, you know, snubs and surprises. It was kind of Middle Tennessee got in, Tennessee didn't. That's it. I mean, that was kind of the only question anybody had going into it was who out of that duo would get in. There was nothing about, you know, Kentucky, Virginia, Alabama. They all shot themselves in the foot. And so I think it was cool. I'm glad we didn't have to talk about snubs and all that too much. And seeding, it was Oregon was too low. Maybe Arizona was too low. But in general, I think they did a pretty good job. You know, people can kill them all they want over the Pac-12 seedings. But overall, I think they did a pretty good job.
How did you do, by the way, in your prediction? How many teams did you get?
I got 67. I had Tennessee over Middle Tennessee. And the thing was, I had a feeling they'd put Middle Tennessee in, but like I just couldn't convince myself to pick them. One top 100 win just didn't do it for me.
Unprecedented, but, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. It's unprecedented. So to me, when I submitted my projected bracket, I'm like, I can't just pick something that's never been picked before. But I think I did okay in general. I mean, a lot of people pick 68 for 68, but I think I did a pretty good job with seeding as well.
Yeah, I kind of just was like, last week I tweeted Middle Tennessee State to the first four. I can feel it. And
I'm glad.
I'm really glad. And 28 wins, you know, no team that had that many wins had ever been left out. Yeah, I'm very glad that they got in. I have no issue with getting these small schools in. It's totally fine by me. Because they do have, you know, in general, they have done well. What I am a little surprised by is that I've seen a lot of bracketologists actually were pretty on the money and either getting 67 or 68, which really means you got, you know, 7 out of 8 or 6 out of 8. But I just thought maybe a few more people would have bought into putting Virginia in or Tennessee in or Bama in. But when you get down to it, when that many people are right, it really was a pretty distinguishable field, and
I started seeing that last night when people were started putting in their final brackets, and everyone either had Tennessee or Middle Tennessee. There was no other kind of variance, and I'm just like, all right, this is how it's going to be. And when Ole Miss won, that took even more of the suspense out of it.
Right, true. I would have put Virginia. I know the Virginia's losses were bad. To me, Virginia is one of the 37 best teams, and so I would have had them in because their wins proved it, and I probably would have booted LaSalle.
But I mean, but we say Middle Tennessee's one top 100 win is unprecedented. Virginia's seven or eight losses would also be unprecedented.
Exactly, it's true. So you know, a record of this sort, in some way or another, some team does something to get in or get out that's never been done before every single year, and so Middle Tennessee State was that team this year. All right, let's pick up and resume. We're at Friday afternoon, that second part of the afternoon window. CBS will have a 2:45 game approximately in Philly. Creighton versus Cincinnati. This was the other one that I wavered on.
Same here.
this is actually the second toughest one. The toughest one we'll get to in just a second, in my opinion. I went with Creighton begrudgingly. I kind of was like, you know what, I'll trust the offense to do something good there, but Cincinnati, you could argue they're good enough to be an 8-9, but I go with the McDermotts. What about you?
I had Creighton right away. I'm like, you know, they're too. I watched Cincinnati a couple times this past weekend. I was like, they're not that good. They can't score. But then I realized Creighton doesn't really play defense that much.
Well. Yeah, right.
And so, I mean, Cincinnati does struggle, but they do have kind of dynamic guys in Kilpatrick and Kazmir Wright, who I think can combine for 45 points and carry them to a win. And that's what I thought of. I was, you know, calling in my picks and last second change from Creighton to Cincinnati. I just think Cincinnati, they're kind of built defensively for a kind of grinded out game. I don't know if Creighton is ready for that.
All right. And then 3:10 True TV, Kansas City, Kansas State versus Boise State, LaSalle winner. I've got Boise State. You've got LaSalle. But do we both have K-State winning?
Negative. LaSalle.
Oh, look at you right now.
I'm way on that bay. I'm not jumping
sucking
off that
up. Sucking up to our own boss, Tony Moss, a LaSalle guy. So you're going with the Explorers into the round of 32.
I have them winning the A-10 tournament, too. I don't know why I'm still on the bandwagon. I just like their guards so much. And Kansas State, I've seen them, you know, a bunch of times. I'm not sold on them. They play good defense and they have Rodney Magruder, but to me, I think LaSalle can kind of put pressure on their guards, and I think LaSalle's more athletic. I think they're quicker, faster, and I think LaSalle is the edge.
Okay, look at that. Look at you going on a whim there. I dig it, man. We both have IU over JMU, LIU, Brooklyn. That's a 4:10 TBS Dayton game. The 4:40 out of Austin on TNT, Illinois, Colorado. I went with Illinois. This is every year there's a game where I pick a team, and I'm convinced that no matter which team I pick, I will get it wrong. This is that game for me. I take Illinois, and that means Colorado's winning.
Yeah, I actually had Illinois, and then calling in my pick switches to Colorado. I mean, Illinois, they have a bunch of good wins. I just don't like them very much. I think Colorado plays good enough defense to make life difficult for Brandon Paul and DJ Richardson, and that's pretty much all Illinois has offensively.
All right, the final eight games are this. 6:50 TBS Philly on Friday night is Georgetown, Florida Gulf Coast. I've got Georgetown. They've struggled in the round of 64 in recent years as three seeds, and now they get Florida Gulf Coast, who beat Miami and played good teams well this year. All it takes is one bad game from Otto Porter. I understand they've got other talent there. Markell Starks is really coming along. I do have Georgetown, but I got to tell you, that's a little bit of a rough draw for Georgetown as a 2 to get Gulf Coast as a 15. But you have the Hoyas, I would think, right?
Yeah, and I haven't gone deep, but to me, and I've thought this for a few years now, that no matter how much talent they have, their style and their system, I don't think it caters well to their talent advantage in first-round games. Because it's, you know, it's a slowdown type of thing, and it's, you know, Princeton principles in the offense, a lot of backdoor cuts and stuff like that. And even though they're more talented than Florida Gulf Coast, that sort of style will enable Florida Gulf Coast to stay in the game. And, you know, if they're hitting threes or something like that, it can get away from Georgetown and be too close of a game.
CBS has a 7:15 game out of Dayton, Ohio State, Iona. That is a sneaky game I think Iona can actually threaten. Both of those two, I just give me Ohio State is a 2 I don't buy. Good team, don't think they can win the title, and I think they can make the Final Four in generally speaking. So I'll take Ohio State, but I am going to say I think Iona will make that interesting. I think that's going to be a close game give me at least 70% of that game. I think Iona will be with the lead or within striking distance, you know, qualify that as 5 to 7 points.
Yeah, Iona was on my list of 10 teams that can win a first round. 10, you know, non-BCS mid-major teams that could win a first round game. They have a ton of talent. They might have the most talent of any, you know, non-BCS mid-major team in the bracket. From like a 13 or below.
Right. Go ahead. I mean, do you want to keep going on Iona?
Or? I'm just saying, if Momo Jones and Sean Armand combine for, you know, 60 points, you know, we could see a close game, like you said.
I get you. All right, Kansas City, TNT, 7:20, North Carolina, Villanova. Everyone wants Carolina, Kansas in the round of 32, so Roy Williams has to coach against Kansas. I think we get robbed of that. Villanova has beaten four good teams in the Big East, you know, Marquette, Louisville, Syracuse, and Pittsburgh, and no one thinks Villanova is going to win this. Everyone's going to be looking forward to Kansas, Carolina, so I'm going to fade that and take the Wildcats, but I'm guessing you have the Heels.
I do. I think they're one of the 18 or 20 best teams in the bracket, and I wish they had a different draw so I could put them in the Sweet 16 or Elite 8 or something like that, but I think they're too talented with that new style they play. I think they're way too good for Villanova.
The last game on Friday during the dinner hour is Florida at 7:27 on True TV in Austin going against Northwestern State. Northwestern State in 2006 was a 14, beat Iowa on a buzzer beater, a great shot. Northwestern State is the highest scoring team in college basketball. But I do have the Gators here, and I have the Gators pretty comfortably.
Yeah, I think Northwestern State, love their up-tempo, love their depth, but you know, the way they win games is by having more athleticism than their opponents, and that's not going to happen against Florida.
All right, the final quad here. To me, this is the most I have no grasp on it. 9:20 TBS, Philly, San Diego State, Oklahoma. A lot of people don't know Oklahoma's deal. They're the most...
They're not that good.
They aren't that good. The people know nothing about Oklahoma. I mean, people that follow the sport know nothing about Oklahoma because they haven't been on TV a lot this year. They didn't put together really long winning streaks. They had some bad losses. They didn't have a lot of signature wins. A 2011 team, Lon Kruger's done a good job. They're okay on offense. They need some help on defense. The thing they do better than anything right now, I'm looking at the KenPom profile, they block shots at a really good rate, but otherwise they're just not that inspiring. San Diego State, by the way, is a little bit of fool's gold. I do have the Aztecs, Borzello, but to me, they're not of seven. To me, they should be lower than that in terms of what they really are. But I will take them to win this one just because Oklahoma's got good players, but a year away from actually being a threat, you know, to win one or two.
Yeah, I mean, I have San Diego State. I just think they're too experienced. Jamal Franklin, Chase Tapley. And like I said, I don't think Oklahoma's that good. And I agree with you on San Diego State. They're probably better in the 8-9 game. I think maybe them and UNC. Probably should have been switched, but I think they're going to cruise past Oklahoma.
All right, the final 7-10 game is on CBS in Dayton at 9:45. And by the way, the 7-10s in general, to me, were just so confusing this year. Very tough ones. 8-9s are almost always tough. To me, the 7-10s were even tougher this year. Notre Dame versus Iowa State. I have the Irish. I think I am having a little bit of recency bias there because I saw them at the Garden. They did well. Connaughton can really hit threes. Iowa State's a solid team. I just think Notre Dame's got a little bit more, but... Are you going with Hoiberg here, or do you ride with Mike Bray?
I'm riding with my Cyclones, man. I think that if they're hitting threes, they could beat anybody in the tournament. I haven't been impressed with Notre Dame all year, and I think Iowa State's going to bring Jack Cooley out of the paint, and I don't think he can guard, you know, George Niang and Will Clyburn and those guys out there.
All right, we obviously have Kansas over Western Kentucky. That's the 9:50 game Friday night on TNT. The final game of the first 2 days is at 9:57 on True TV out of Austin. It is UCLA versus Minnesota. This is the whatever coach loses this game might be losing his job deal. Minnesota is actually the only lower-seeded team favored if you don't count the
Lions. Are
they really? Yeah, yeah. So they're actually favored by 3 against UCLA, which gets a 6 because Jordan Adams got hurt. He broke his foot in the last play game in the Pac-12 tournament, but I actually do have UCLA here. Now Minnesota's actually been sliding. It's weird. Like, everyone's on Minnesota. They got good athletes. I understand that, and they've had some good wins. But I'm gonna take UCLA in a one game spot here, even despite the injury. I'll ride with Kyle Anderson and Shabazz Muhammad to get to kind of have a Kevin Durant, like, maybe you get one win and that's it, kind of career.
Yeah, I mean, if you've seen Minnesota play over the last 2 months, there's nothing impressive about them. I was gonna go with Minnesota, just kind of. You know, UCLA, they lost Jordan Adams, blah, blah, blah. But if you have 4 or 5 days to prepare for a couple of inconsistent, unpredictable teams, I'm going with Ben Howland over Tubby Smith.
All right, so that's all the Thursday and Friday games here, and we actually only have about 6 minutes to go before Borzell has got to take a radio call here. So I do want to just run through the rest of our bracket. We don't have to go game by game here, but give me any other notable upsets you've got leading up to the Final Four. Give me your Final Four. Give me your title game. You know, spend 2 or 3 minutes talking about how the rest of your bracket plays out here, buddy.
All right, let's do this. I do have VCU beating Michigan. I think they're going to fall short against Kansas in a really close game. Other upsets, I have Bucknell in the Sweet 16. I have them beating Marquette in that round of 32 game. Let's see what other fun things I have. Not a lot of other fun things. It's weird. I came into this thing, all right, I'm going to pick a 7 in the Elite 8 and this and that. And I just, to me, the draw wasn't favorable to my selections. I wish that, like, St. Louis was in a different region, because I think the Midwest has 4 of the top 10 teams in the bracket. I think Louisville, Duke, St. Louis, Michigan State are all Final Four worthy teams. And I think in a different bracket and a different draw, we could have seen something like that, but it's not going to happen. So, Final Four, Georgetown, Gonzaga, Louisville, Indiana, kind of chalky, but that's how the matchups fell for me. Georgetown, I think they control tempo too well. You know, I think Kansas could give them trouble because of Jeff Withey on the inside, but Kansas, I don't trust Elijah Johnson and Nadir Tharp to lead them to a Final Four. In the West, wide open bracket, wide open region, Gonzaga, I like them, and New Mexico had a better resume than Gonzaga to me, but they're not a better team, and I think that's Gonzaga's region to lose. Then I'll go Indiana over Miami, and I'll go Louisville over Duke. Duke was actually my number three team in my 1 through 68 rankings on CBSSports.com, but Louisville's just better. And then I have Louisville over Indiana in the title game, which is the opposite of what I picked back in October when I had Indiana over Louisville.
Okay, how about that?
With that said, I just want to say this. In my 1 through 68 rankings, I have Indiana number one, and I have Louisville number two. But head-to-head, I think Louisville is better in that individual matchup.
All right. I always am fascinated by how the bracket will seduce you into taking chalk, because you don't want to. You'll get to that Final Four.
Right.
You'll get to that Final Four. You'll see that you've got three ones and a two, or two ones and two twos, and you're like, I hate this.
Right. I didn't realize that until I was reading off my picks to the office, and I'm like, this bracket sucks.
Exactly.
And so this is what I do. I want this. I want this. I want a VCU. I want a seven. I want UNC.
Right.
And I can't do that.
So who do you got coming out of the West?
I have Gonzaga.
You do have Gonzaga.
I'll be there.
Okay.
I mean, I think Ohio State has the pieces. I just don't think they have consistent secondary options to get there. And New Mexico, I like them. I just don't think they're a Final Four caliber team. I think they're going to lose to Ohio State. And then I think Gonzaga, too good on the inside, too good defensively. And I think they're more physical than people give them credit for.
All right. Here's mine in a quick thing. So we both have So you've got Bucknell over Marquette. I've got Davidson over Bucknell. So we both have a double-digit seed coming out there. I've got a few surprises here. I've got Syracuse over Indiana. I've got Miami coming out of that region. So we both have Miami there. I originally had Kansas coming out of the South, but then I got angry with myself and I said, "No, we're not doing this, Matt." And so I actually have Michigan coming out of the South. I have Michigan over VCU.
Hey, when's the last time they won away from home?
I know. Just ride with here for a second. Yeah. So, and I've got Florida over Georgetown, by the way. I do have Gonzaga coming out of the West. I've got Gonzaga, New Mexico. I have Notre Dame over Ohio State, by the way.
Notre Dame, why?
Why not? So, and Gonzaga, Gonzaga I had in the preseason as a Final Four team, so I'm still going to ride with them. I've got Oklahoma State over St. Louis. St. Louis is going to be a popular Sweet 16 pick. I just went with Oklahoma State to go against the grain there just a little bit, but I do have Louisville over Michigan State, so I've got Michigan State beating Duke. So my Final Four is Louisville as a one, Gonzaga as a one, Michigan as a four, and then Miami as a two. And then
so we have two different ones.
We have two different ones, yes. And I think Louisville will be the most popular one seed into the
right.
Final Four.
I was hoping they would get bounced early in the Big East tournament.
Yeah, Louisville will be the most popular number one seed, which makes sense because they're number one overall seed. And then I've got Louisville beating Miami for the national title. Now, I'm not thrilled that I've got Miami there. I feel like I'm going to really come to regret that, but you know what? Whatever. These picks, by the way, will all be on CBSSports.com. You'll be able to see expert links. We'll be tweeting stuff out. He is at Jeff Borzello. I know we are right up against the clock here for a radio thing. So before we end this podcast, man, anything else about the bracket, Selection Sunday, what we're looking forward to, your travels to the first four? What do you want to squeeze in here, man?
Obviously, I'm really looking forward to 7 days in Dayton. Always looking forward to that. About the bracket, I'm just upset that there's so much chalk to pick. I really wanted to pick like sevens and sixes and stuff like that in the Elite Eight and the Final Four. But it seems like everyone's jumping on the same bandwagon. It's the St. Louis bandwagon, the VCU bandwagon. And I hate when things coalesce like that.
Agreed. And I've been saying for a couple months now that I didn't think that the Elite Eight is going to play out like this anyway. I think it's going to be a lot of ones and twos and threes. And maybe we get one team that sneaks into there.
I wasn't convinced of that until the conference tournaments.
Yeah.
Then I was like, ugh. Like these really cool like 10 seeds that are winning games against elite teams at home, they're not very good away from home.
All
like
right.
Villanova, stuff like that, they're not going to win.
So real quick, like my most dangerous pick, I guess, is probably Syracuse over Indiana. I'd think that's more dangerous than Michigan over Kansas, personally. So what is your most dangerous pick?
Picking two first four teams in the round of 32 and Bucknell in the Sweet 16, especially the first four ones, because I'm picking them in advance of the first four games, so they might not even win that game.
Exactly. That's the tricky thing. That's what I love about it.
But that's what I'm doing. A couple of them. Two
of them. So good, man. I cannot believe how fast this podcast went. Like,
50, 45 minutes?
I could honestly talk to you about this damn bracket for another hour, but we have time constraints here, even though it's a podcast. So I appreciate you coming on, man, and enjoy the hell out of Dayton. Hopefully you get some good stuff there, both in the first four and in the first weekend. Look forward to it, and we'll talk to you soon. I'll catch up with you again and at the Final Four. It was good hanging with you at the Big East, man. We had a good little time there, that Georgetown-Syracuse game. Again, now
that
ancient
real,
history,
man.
But that was just incredible, man. We could spend 15 minutes talking about
I'm glad I ended my Big East career on that. Like, Louisville, everyone's like, oh, this is Patino and Boeheim, this is the Big East. I'm like, Louisville's been there for like 5 years. Like, this ain't
I don't know if everyone was like, this is the Big East, but yeah, I know what you're saying. It's like
people
Patino,
were saying, everyone was saying it.
Yeah, I know it's Patino and Boeheim and how they do. But yeah, that atmosphere in the Garden for Georgetown, Syracuse was ridiculous. And I'm not one to kind of get too rosy with that kind of stuff, but that was undeniably awesome. So
I literally was ready to like jump out of my seat when Trey Wick took his little half court shot that missed the end of the first overtime.
Yeah.
I was ready to rush the court.
So good. Great stuff, man. All right, again, follow him at Jeff Borzello. We will be back with another podcast, I think, on Tuesday. No guarantees. At the very latest, we will have one on Wednesday. I'll be in Utah, Salt Lake City for those games, so that'll be Goodman and Parrish. You can look forward to that. Subscribe in iTunes. Check Ion College Basketball frequently. We're going to have tons of content on there. Again, thank you everyone so much for listening. Feel free to tweet your questions at me, at anyone you'd like, and we will talk to you soon.